Good evening. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord. We all, at the things that you have done for us on this Friday. And many times, Father God, this Friday has been very dark for most of the day and most of the night. God, you were hung on that cross, Father God, and we lost all our hope, and we don't know where to go. God, we thought all those things going to happen, God, but all our thought has been broken down. And Lord God, that you are hanging on there, and God, this whole place, the whole day has become black. And I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus today, maybe some of us are going through that. Maybe some of us in our life are going through that blackness of our life. And Father God, I pray, God, that today as we're painting a picture of what was going on back then, that you will give us hope. In spite of the blackness, the Black Friday will turn become a Good Friday. Lord, touch us today, Lord. And Lord God, and move upon us in our hearts and our life. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. For the longest time, you know, we could say this Friday is a Good Friday. But we questioned for the longest time. We said, how can this Friday will be a Good Friday? Because this Friday was a devastation for many people who follow Jesus Christ. You know, I wanted to start with a person named Mary. And Mary was sent by Angel Gabriel, and said, hey, you're going to be pregnant. And you're going to have a Messiah. And for her, he said, how can I be pregnant when I do not know the man? And you know the consequences that I will have if I am being pregnant even before I actually get engaged. But nevertheless, Lord, let your will be done. Then Mary had Jesus. And she took that Jesus and bring that Jesus to a person named Simeon. When you look at it in the book of Luke chapter 2, there was a godly man who was waiting for to see the Messiah. And Simeon saw Mary holding on to that 8 days old Jesus, he said, that's the one. And he took that Jesus, blessed him, and prophesied over Mary and said, this baby will bring a glory of God upon this place. But at the very end of that prophecy, he said to her, he said, that spear will pierce through your heart. What does that mean? Well, she understood that very prophecy when she standing and kneeling before the cross where his son is hanging on the cross. Can you guys imagine? That what did my son do wrong? What did he do wrong? He grew up in age of 30. He created the revolution in Israel. And there is a people coming to the west and the east. And all those people want to hear his words. People were getting healed, touched by God. He was changing the life of the people. And all of a sudden, things coming on. That he's ending up on the cross. Can you guys imagine that? Can you imagine? Your son will be hung on that cross. The cross that you guys were wearing is something that we use that for ornaments. But you know, that's like a executional, the electric chair that you're actually hanging on, put it on. Because that's what it was. The cross was the most horrible way to die. And here is his son, Mary's son, Jesus, was hanging on the cross. And all his skins are ripped apart. Blood is gushing out. And he's looking at Jesus and say, what did he do wrong? And she's there, probably reciting that words what Simeon have said. The spear will pierce your heart. You know, maybe some of you guys have experienced that kind of things in your life. I did. In 1996, I believe, they got a phone call when I was in Bible college, 1993, that my mom, who just got saved for 1 year, just accepted Christ. And I said, wow, God, thank you so much. You know, one of the things that I wanted to hear the most is the prayer of my mom. Because I was only Christian in my life. And I was so envious of so many Christians who mom and dad are praying for them. But when my mom finally got saved, I was first time in my life I was start to hearing her praying for me. But on that day of 1993, I got a phone call from my mom, from my sister. He said, brother, you need to sit down. Because mom just died. She got shot and just got killed while she was taking care of the store. And I said to myself, I said, God, you just saved her. She just started to pray for me. Why, God? Why? When we live our life, sometimes we're going to face that kind of why questions to God. And sometimes God will not answer that why. And here is Mary standing in front of that cross and probably asking that why to God. Why, God? Because she's just a human being. She only have a very small perspective only that she could see. And she probably cried out in her heart, God, why? Why, Lord? It was a Black Friday, not just for the Mary, but for the disciples. For 3.5 years, disciples followed Jesus. They saw Jesus do miracle. Can you guys imagine that? Signs and wonders. They saw Jesus standing in front of Nazareth and cry out, Lazarus! And saw Lazarus, who they smell his corpse because he was decaying, his corpse was decaying for three days in that tomb, coming out of that tomb. They saw the miracles about how he raised the dead and cleansed the leper. And man, when he started to speak, he speak the word with authority and a power that no man can ever can speak and change the life of a people. Can you guys imagine Zacchaeus? A man who took all the monies They hated this guy. They never thought this guy would ever change. And here is Zacchaeus. When Jesus saw him on the tree, he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to have dinner with you tonight." That night, Zacchaeus' life changed. And they all saw it. I bet Matthew was amazed. Because Matthew was a fellow tax collector, used to be. He said, "Zacchaeus changed? Are you serious?" I remember when I was in Korea, there was one Marine. And, you know, he's half Korean and half American. And he speaks perfect Korean. He was MI, military intelligence. And his name is Bob. He came to our church the other day, you know, a visit here. And I told Bob, I said, "Bob, did you know Marine Corps guy named Han? He used to go to our church a long time ago in Rikki-Rikki Highway." He said, "Yeah, I know him. You mean that drunker? You mean that Han? He only know woman as a womanizer, and he could drink. And oh, man." And I told him this. I said, "Did you know he became a preacher? He became a preacher and came to our church, and I met him in Virginia." And Bob goes, "Are you serious?" And I bet Matthew looked at Zacchaeus. I said, "That's Zacchaeus, the guy who ripped us, everybody off in Jerusalem." And Zacchaeus came to Jesus and had dinner with him. And Zacchaeus said, "I'm going to give half of my profit, whatever I have, to the poor. And whatever that I have stolen from people, I'll give four times more." Did you know the time that Zacchaeus accepted Jesus that day, he became bankrupt? You got to be. They saw the amazing power of Jesus, how Jesus changed their life. Jesus changed the people around them. And they say to us themselves, he said, "Yes, our master surely going to destroy these Romans. Finally set us free from these Romans. And our nation going to once again recapture the glory of the time of Solomon." Yes. And maybe I'll be on the right side of Jesus and left side of Jesus. And yes, we will receive that glory. They expect that. And all of a sudden, things changed. And here's Jesus on that day, on that fateful night, on that Black Friday. He got captured. He got whipped. And all those things were going on, and disciples didn't know what to do. Can you guys imagine that? He's like, "What are we going to do? Oh my God, our master, he is such an incredible man. Here he is, who stopped the storms when we were in that boat. Here he is. Now he's getting whipped. Now his head is all swollen up by putting those stones deep into his head. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do?" And those disciples lost their hope and went away. And among that one disciple, there was a guy named Peter. You guys don't know, because he talked the most. Is that right? Peter, he always say something, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but he was the loudest one. Peter is the only one that who have dared enough to go outside of the boat and say, "Jesus, can I walk on the water?" And he did. He fell, but he did. And I bet you, Peter went back in. Peter said, told the disciple, I did it. You guys didn't. Loudmouth Peter. And he said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, I will never leave you. Unto the death, I will follow you. And Jesus said, very shocking word to him. He said, he's not going to do that. You're going to deny me 3 times. Until that rooster crow. Do you guys know that Peter don't like KFC? He doesn't like fried chicken. That Peter, he said, and he followed Jesus up to a certain point. And he lost his, what? He lost his heart to go after the Lord. And when those little girls say, I know you. You are part of that guy. He said, no way. And all other people start pointing finger at Peter. He said, you are that man. You are that disciple who followed that man right there, Jesus. And he started to deny him, curse 3 times. And when the rooster crowed, he remembered what Jesus said. Can you imagine that? And this is what the Bible said. He wept bitterly. Did you guys ever fail in your life? Ever come to a point that God will never love me? God will never love me. I remember my friend, his name is Moses. He went to Virginia Tech. And he got into a party scene. He was on fire for God, but he got to the college, got into party sins, got into the girls, got into the drinking, got into all those things. He come home one night. He said, God, I don't think you'll remember me anymore. I deny you. I don't follow you anymore. And then this is what he told me. He said he felt the wind, swish of the wind just went by. And he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said, you miss me, didn't you? You miss me. Yes. That night, it was a black night, a total black night for Peter. But there is one person that is much more black, went through the much more darker night than Peter. His name is Judas Iscariot. Did you know? You know what Jesus said about him? This is I know why that Jesus didn't make, Judas didn't make it. Because Jesus said this, I wish that he was never born. That's what Jesus said. You guys look it up. The Bible call it a Judas. It's a zealot. Zealot is a people that who fight for the independence for Israelites against Romans. And when he saw Jesus doing all kinds of miracles and signs and wonders, he followed Jesus. Start to understand what Jesus was doing. Start to hear all his teachings. And in his heart, understand who Jesus was. But at the same time, that in his heart, he goes, yes, he's the one who's going to free us from our Roman Empire. But when Jesus was going to a wrong direction, according to his mindset, he's the one that started to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And when he did that, he realized in his heart, he said, man, I did wrong. I did wrong. It was a dark night, a total hopeless night for Judas Iscariot. You know, I look at the whole scenario. I know that he had a chance. Even the Judas Iscariot had a chance. He could have turned around to Jesus and cry out to Jesus, but he didn't do that. He put it into his heart, and he take his life. And he was thrown into a place and buried into a place called Potter's Field. When you study the Potter's Field, it is a field that when the potters try to mend those, they try to make a vessel, and when they could not make it anymore, when potter give up on that pot, they break that pot and throw it into the field. That is the field where Judas Iscariot was buried. You don't have to go there, guys. It's Black Friday. Maybe some of us are having this Black Friday, seem to be hopeless. Everything is dark. Maybe God has forsaken me. God will never forsake you. God will never throw you away. You don't have to go in the path of Judas Iscariot. But among all that, there was one person that Friday was more darker than any other people that I just described. You know who that is? Jesus Christ. On that night. Can you guys imagine that? He had his followers, thousands of them, followed him. And they goes, wow. When he came to Jerusalem, he said, Hosanna, the highest, tried to make him a king. They saw all those people who said, wow, followed him and praised him for who he is. And all of them start to turn around and start to say, crucify him, crucify him. Among all those people, they got healed. Those who were saying to all those to Jesus, they got healed, they got fed by Jesus. They saw miracle. They were all at the teaching what Jesus have shown them in their life. They turned around and said, "Give us Barabbas and crucify him." But you know, that was the end of it. Those 12 disciples that he loved, that he spent his entire ministry with, poured his heart to, on that night, everyone ran away. Everyone. No one was there. And he saw Peter, kind of the way behind, but he saw Peter start to deny him. Say, I do not know that man. And there now, his body is torn to pieces. You know, he knew that. He knew that that's the price that he had to pay. But even though he knew that in Gethsemane, and that's why he said to God, I said, God, I cannot drink this cup. Lord, don't let me drink this cup, but don't let it be my will, but let your will be done. Let me ask you this, guys. How far are you willing to follow Jesus? How far are you willing to go with him? Because I hear these stories all the time. When I do North Korean mission, And I see all these North Koreans escaping out of North Korea. And some of them understand the gospel and give their life. Some of them who came and escaped out of North Korea under the protection of Chinese underground church in China. And the person say this. He said, I'm sorry, daughter. I have to leave you under the protection of this pastor, but I must go back to North Korea because I have to tell my people about this wondrous gospel. And there's people there who gave their life voluntarily. They don't have to, but they went to North Korea and they laid themselves, their life, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's Jesus. He doesn't have to do it. Here's Jesus. He doesn't have to be a man and came down and died for us. And he saw the cup and he said, I don't want to do it, Lord. In his flesh, he said, I don't want to do it. But don't let it be my will. Let your will be done. On that day, can you guys imagine? Jesus was whipped. His body was torn to pieces. His head was all swollen off because they put a thorn of crown upon him. They drag him to the Golgotha and they nail him to the cross. And they put him on the cross. And he was going in and out of the consciousness. And then his last words, out of all the words that he said, the one of the words that I want to say here is this. He said, Elo, Elo, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why you have you forsaken me? What is he talking about? What is he talking? When you look at Isaiah chapter 53, you start to understand that what Jesus is talking about. But for the first time in eternity, the Trinity has been separated. And the God the Father turned his back against him. Because he cannot look upon all the sins that has been laid upon his life. On that cross. And you know, he could maybe could bear that ripping of the flesh through the whipping. Maybe he could bear some of those thorns coming through his head. Maybe the nails coming through his feet and coming through his hand. Maybe he could bear that pain. But first time in eternity for him to be forsaken by God the Father. Because he had to carry all the sins of the world. Is upon him. Jesus couldn't handle that. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the reason why we used to call this Friday a Black Friday. For many people, including Jesus, it was the Black Friday that shaken their life upside down and changed into their life. Maybe some of us are going through that Black Friday, but I want you to know that Jesus is alive today. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Can we all stand? Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Can we just lay hands on somebody around you? Can we just do that? Hallelujah. In this time of a Good Friday, this Black Friday is about to turn and to become a Good Friday. Can we just lay a hand on someone? He said, maybe somebody is going through this darkness or hopelessness that all these people are going through in the time of Black Friday. But God is about to change this Black Friday to Good Friday. So can we just take some time to pray for them right now? Let's just pray right now. Maybe there's somebody that you think of who's not here right now, who's going through this Black Friday. Can we just pray right now and ask the Lord, God, touch it, Lord God. Father God, move upon it, Father God. Hallelujah. That, Lord, that rock, stone will roll away, Father God. Lord God, no longer, Father God, the hopelessness will become hopelessness. But God, it will become a, Lord God, Good Friday. There will be a resurrection that is coming. Lord Jesus, touch it, Father God. Lord God, move upon us, Father God. Hallelujah, God. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Lord God, it is good to see for God, to see that Jesus is forsaken so that he could let us into the kingdom. Father God, help us understand the very words. What the God the Father have said and prophesied in Isaiah 53, Lord, today. Touch us today, Lord God. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for our congregation who are here today in this Black Friday, Father God. Lord God, seem to be, Father God, our life is hopeless and black. Father God, there is no light, Father God, around our life without you, Lord God. And Lord God, there is no hope, Father God, without Jesus Christ. Lord God, this Black Friday, this Good Friday, we will, Lord God, to remind ourselves and understand, Lord God, that our life has turned around from this hopeless Black Friday into Good Friday because of your sacrifice. Because of your sacrifice, Lord. Touch us once again. Let us not hold this good news for ourselves, Lord, but Lord, proclaim it to others. To the Lord Jesus, Father God, to other neighbors, other peoples, other, Lord God, around the streets and around our community today. We love you, God. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.